Thanks for downloading this message from Pastor Mike's podcast. May God bless you as you listen.
It's time now to hear from God's word, and the first reading today comes from Peter's first letter, and we're reading from chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. The second reading today is the gospel reading for this Sunday, and it's from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse, and he used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. And so the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, as we turn now to this word and to the meaning you have for our lives in it, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit and get us ready to hear, not only with our ears, but also with our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, there was a man in New York City who was kidnapped. And when he was kidnapped, the kidnappers sent a ransom note to his wife demanding $100,000 for his release. But she bargained them down to $30,000. Bad deal, really, is it? The story had a happy ending, apparently. He was released, the kidnappers even were caught, sent to jail, and all was good. But I'm just wondering what the conversation was like when he got back home. And she said, "I bargained them down, $30,000 was enough." I wonder how the conversation went with the kidnappers. "What do you mean you want $100,000 for that no good? Take a look at him. Look at that gut. I'm not paying $100,000. $30,000, that's my final offer." I wonder how he felt about that. I would like to think that if I was ever kidnapped, that Narelle would say, "$100,000, that's hardly enough. I'll pay you $200,000 to get him back." We would like to think that those that care of us would do anything, do whatever it takes to get us back. But in this particular situation, the wife said no, $30,000. I want to contrast that story with the gospel story for today. Because really that's on the other end of the spectrum. If he was someone looking to cut down the price, in John chapter 20 we see someone in Mary who will go to extreme lengths to honour Jesus. Let me set up the story for you. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus, and this was a house that he had visited quite often. When he was near the area of Jerusalem, he stayed in Bethany and he would stay at their house. They were dear friends. Friendship, though, had been put to the test because Lazarus, the brother of Mary, had fallen ill. And when he was ill, they sent a message to Jesus. They said, "Come quickly, because Lazarus, your friend, is ill. We know that you can help him. We know that you can fix him. Please come. Please do a miracle for us." But Jesus didn't immediately come, and Lazarus died. And then he does come, and wonderfully, he raises Lazarus from the dead. He calls to the grave, and Lazarus stands up and walks out. It's one of the great, great miracles of Jesus. That's the background to the story. Now Mary has another chance to welcome Jesus to a home. And there, large as life, sitting on the table is Lazarus, the brother who has been given back his life. And you can well imagine, you know, what was in Mary's heart. The awe, the gratitude, the thankfulness that was in her heart. And that overflows in her in this remarkable act of loving devotion and worship. We read that Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair. To really understand the depth of this, you need to know something about perfume. This stuff called nard is an extremely expensive and rare perfume. It was made from the flowers or spikes of a plant that grew high up on the Himalayan mountains at about elevation of 4,000 feet. And so it had come a long way. It was obscenely expensive to buy in the Middle East because it's rare. It's had to be picked from these rare flowers. And then it's been transported all this way. Now, these days we put something on a plane and it's here in Australia in a matter of hours or days. But in those days, to have this nard made and then brought, it's come on a huge journey. And so it was very, very expensive. And when Jesus came to dinner, Mary pours, it says, a pint, that's about 600 mils of this stuff, all over Jesus' feet. Enough to perfume his feet would have been just a dab, but she pours the whole bottle. And it was incredibly expensive. It was worth probably a year's salary for a labouring person. How much do you get paid a year? Think about that. Imagine pouring that out in one act of love towards somebody. And how do you respond to hearing that? What do you think of Mary? She's fanatical. She's crazy. She's devoted. She's breathtaking. It's wonderful. It's obsessive. It's extravagant. Lots of different words that we could come up with. But whatever you judge it, her gesture says something about what's going on in her heart, doesn't it? It says that she loves Jesus deeply. Her action says, Jesus, I love you, I thank you, I honor you above everything else. It's very, very extravagant. There's a second aspect to her action that we need to understand too, because John says that Mary wipes his feet with her hair. Now, in Jewish culture, in Middle Eastern culture, a woman never let her hair down in public. Right? We know that even today. We have this thing in our culture about people coming from the Middle East and wearing head covering, don't we? But that's their culture. They covered their hair. And it was seen as a shameful thing, as an out there kind of thing to let down your hair in public. But in Mary's case, her love was stronger than convention. She didn't care what people might say about her, what the gossip might be, about how it might look. She poured out the perfume and then wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. There's a third sign of the extravagance of her love for Jesus in the story too, and it's shown in her humility. Consistently in the gospel accounts about this Mary, she was always at the feet of Jesus. In Luke 10, we read about Jesus visiting the home of Mary and Martha. It's the famous story where Martha's all busy getting the house ready and getting the food ready, and all of this stuff is going on, and she gets really cranky at Mary and says, "Why aren't you helping me?" But Mary has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus while he's teaching in order to learn from him. There, once again, she's at the feet of Jesus. After the death of Lazarus, when Jesus finally turns up, remember she said, "Come and help quickly," and he's delayed, and then he turns up after Lazarus has died. We read that Mary ran from the house, reached the place where Jesus was, saw him, and then fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been there, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." So there she is, confused and angry and upset and in grief, and yet even then she fell at Jesus' feet. At his feet for learning, at his feet in her grief, and out at his feet in her love. She doesn't pour the perfume on his head, she pours it on his feet. She's taking the place of a servant. She's calling him Lord and Master. She's calling him King. In every way, Mary worships the Lord extravagantly. Important question to ask is where does this extravagance come from? What motivates her to think like this and act like this? Well, the answer really is sitting a couple of seats down the table from her brother Lazarus. Because there he is alive. He was dead, but Jesus had called him back to life. And Mary loved the Lord extravagantly because she had received this gift back from Jesus, this gift of her brother, whom she dearly loved. And that gift of life made the expensive perfume seem just like a trifle because it was so much greater. Really, friends, that's the key to worship in all its forms. We worship God when we realize the gift that we have received from him. Are you extravagant in your worship? Maybe the question you ask is, do I appreciate how much Jesus has done for me? Do I appreciate how much God loves me? Do I know that? Look, here's a thing to help you understand this more deeply. We are recalling in this story how Mary poured out this extravagant perfume over Jesus. But Jesus poured out way more than that for us. I want to have you hear some familiar words from Matthew. Most of you will recognize these words. They're part of our celebration of Holy Communion. And listen especially for the words today, poured out. Okay, remember, Mary poured out something. Listen for the words poured out in this little section. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for you, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, at that moment, Jesus was prophesying because his death hadn't happened yet, but it was just hours away. And he was prophesying what would happen. He was talking about his death on the cross, how his body would be broken in death, and how his blood would be poured out on the cross. Now, we remember that almost every time we gather, almost every time we come together as community, we celebrate communion. And we're remembering this pouring out of Jesus' life for us. We remember his love. We remember that a vessel infinitely more precious than the perfume bottle was broken. And something infinitely more precious than the perfume was poured out, namely the blood of Jesus. And we remember also that that was a gift of life. Peter writes, "You know, it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. No, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." See, God's love was so extravagant that he poured out his own life for you. And his death on the cross was to win you back. And that's the great gift that we have received. That's where extravagant worship comes from. Mary was extravagant in her love because she'd received back this life. In her case, it was the life of her brother Lazarus. But friends, we've received the same gift. The promise of faith is that Jesus holds life in his hands. And because of his death, those whom he loves, those who have faith in him, will receive life back again. Now that's very real and very personal. Mary received back Lazarus. But friends, you know, one day we will receive back those that we love who have faith in Christ as well. We will receive back our friend Lindley and Peter and Sarah. We'll receive those people back from Jesus. Kevin Cookle, Rhonda Micken. All those who love Jesus, who know him and have faith in him, will be given back to us as a gift. And more than that, our own life will be given back to us as a gift from Christ as well. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live." And friends, those are precious words. When we know about the love of Christ, when we appreciate what his sacrifice was about, what his death and suffering was about, what the pouring out of his blood was about, then we can't help but respond extravagantly back to him as well, because the gift that we have received is so great. Mary was not crazy. She was not wasteful. She just knew what a great gift she had received. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for your love today, which is so extravagant. Lord, we see extravagance in this story of Mary, but it pales into insignificance alongside your extravagance. It was not perfume that you poured out, it was your very life that you poured out on the cross. And we thank you that bound up in that sacrifice is a wonderful gift of life for us. Over and over, the Bible tells us that your death means life for us. Your death means life for us. Lord, help us to appreciate this gift that you've given. Help us to treasure it, and help us to love you too. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message by Pastor Mike Forward of the Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Parish. For information about our church and our service times, you can call the office on 9593 9545. God bless you.